We had a guy that we were training for a little bit, and he didn't get on the phones for maybe like 5 days, and he was training. And then as soon as we got him on the phone, he dipped because he was scared. So, you know, just be aware that it might be good to get these guys on the phone sooner than later just to find out if they got it or not. Because, you know, a lot of people get scared on that phone, you know. And for us, like, some people are built different where they're like, y'all make 100 calls. I don't care if everyone says no. And that's what comes to the mindset that we'll talk to you. You got a different kind of mindset than most 17, 18-year-olds because they just want to have fun. They don't want to wake up early. I'm very surprised that you're waking up at 5:30. That's amazing.
I love it. I honestly... I have people talk shit all the time. I love it.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? What's up, YouTube?
What's up,
and we got people on live going on. We got our boy Brendan Pepper on the scene.
What's up, everyone?
So, Brendan, if you didn't know this, we have a podcast on YouTube. It's called Investor Thrive Nation. So we're just saying what's up because this is going to go on YouTube. Welcome, Investor Thrive Nation. We try to have a podcast every week where we interview an expert or someone trying to...
In the industry.
You know, my man, you could say he's an expert, you know, getting good, getting there. Corey, you want to kind of tell everybody that's new to Investor Thrive Nation what it is?
Yeah, we started Investor Thrive to, you know, help people out in their personal and professional lives, just, you know, learn tips, learn how to be entrepreneurs, learn how to grow a business, and also kind of follow our journey and see, you know, how we're doing it.
So yeah.
That's kind of why we started it.
And Investor Thrive Nation, if you guys are brand new to investing and you have no money and you're broke but you want to learn, on InvestorThrive.com, I have two free courses that if you take... you can learn, you can make money. It's one on deal analysis on how to comp properties and one on JVing. So,
I like that.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to give back, dude. Yeah. Value.
Providing value.
Exactly.
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters, dude. You know, the more you give, the more you get, right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's what we're here to do today.
That's it. So let's just dive right into this podcast. We got about 30 minutes. So we're going to chat with Brendan about his Brendan, right? I'm not pronouncing it wrong. I know it's spelled kind of.
Spelled different.
Yeah, spelled. Yeah.
Pronouncing it right.
Okay, good. So let's just dive right into it, man. I think everybody wants to know why we brought you on. So let's have you give a little bit of an intro to who you are, and then we'll just ask you some questions and let the world know about you, man.
Cool. Hey, everyone. So my name's Brendan. I'm an 18-year-old. I've been investing in real estate for about a year. Started wholesaling at the age of 17. I was able to close a deal driving for dollars.
Were you still in high school at that time?
So I technically would have been, but I dropped out and then graduated early.
Dude, who needs school, bro?
School's not for me. So I graduated early, and I was working at Smith's. I hated it. I knew it wasn't for me. I knew I needed to do something else.
What were you doing at Smith's?
Pushing carts.
You're the cart pusher.
Yeah, I was a cart boy.
Is that why you're so strong, bro?
I think. I don't know.
That's how you get so big. All right.
Yeah.
I see you at the gym, too. I see your posts. Like, you like to lift and stuff?
Yeah. Every morning, 5:30, 6 a.m., I try and be there. And
you wake up at 5:30, 6 a.m.?
Start meditating, visualizing, reading, and then
dang,
to the
dude.
Gym.
Dedicated. I like
That's
it.
Dedication. That's
Just
amazing.
Trying to make it out here.
That's awesome. Okay, so let me recap. You at 17, you got your first deal, and you're working at Smith's before that, and you said, "Hey, I got to do something else."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about, you know, what made you even think about real estate. You know,
so I was always interested in houses and stuff, and I called an agent because I was going to be an agent.
Okay,
I was going to go be a real estate agent. I called Jimmy Rex. You guys might know Jimmy Rex.
Heard of him.
Give him a call. I was like, hey, man, I want to get started in real estate. Where do I start? He said, yo, I want you to study wholesaling and call me back when you've learned about it.
Okay.
So that night, I just went and researched it, figured out what it was. And
what did you do to research it? Just
went on YouTube.
Okay.
So I first started on Google and then went on YouTube, and there was just video after video.
Which ones were you watching?
Brent Daniels.
Brent Daniels is who
Brent
you got?
Brent Daniels. I love Brent Daniels. And then Jerry Norton,
yeah.
And then Pace Morby and Jamil, and just kept going and going. And then I hired this mentor. It was like $50 for a phone call. We did like 5 phone calls. And he kind of taught me the basics of what wholesaling
was.
How
did you find that guy?
Facebook.
Facebook? He was just like...
Who was it?
Jan Plum.
Yeah.
I don't even...
Just some... Is it,
just some random, guy. I've never heard of him since.
How long was the phone call?
We would do like an hour phone call five times. And
was this guy in the Philippines or something?
No, he lives here. He owned a company, and he actually invests out here, and it was a little weird.
That's I've never heard that. You know, if someone's like $50 a phone call. That's crazy. And
the way he had me comp properties was like, get on Redfin, take the five that have sold, like that are apples to apple comps, and then average it out. So I don't know. It was just different. Mm-hmm. Started with that, and then I hooked up with my buddy Caleb, and he kind of taught me driving for dollars, and we partnered up, and we were able to close our first deal together. It was weird because he...
How long ago was that?
That was a year and 2 months ago. Or actually, no, it was last January, March. So not even a year. About a year almost.
Cool, man.
Gotcha. But I started, my first day ever picking up the phone was January 11th last year.
January 11th, his first day picking up the phone. Yep. So tell me about your driving for dollars experience. Like, what were you... How was that?
That was good. Caleb taught me. We went out one day, and he kind of showed me everything. And then from there, I've just picked it up. I always knew what I was looking for, and
Just a crappy house, huh?
Yeah, I drove my ass off. We drove so much. I probably tagged 200 properties a day.
Really? Like, that's a couple hours, then. Yeah. You must have been out there for a while, because... Whenever me and him used to drive for dollars all the time, and by the end of it, we would have the biggest headaches, bro. Mm-hmm. Did you have the headaches?
Dude, no. I would bring a homie, and I would just bump and just have a good time, listen to podcasts.
Because I'd always be, moving my head.
Looking fast.
Looking quick. But that's cool, man. So the first deal you got was from driving for dollars? Mm-hmm.
Yep, driving for dollars. Where at?
Yeah, where
it at? Was in Syracuse.
Syracuse?
Yeah. Or Clinton, actually. So
that's
right.
North, right?
Yeah.
Because you're from Layton, aren't you? Okay.
Live right in Farmington.
You know, you're kind of lucky. That area, I feel like it's got a lot more crap up there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. Not like Ogden area. That's
Ogden, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know about Layton, to be honest.
Layton, it's here and there. Syracuse, Roy, they're in there. But yeah, Ogden's are...
We're flipping a house, and Roy just closed today. Little piece of crap. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Good shit. And it was what I was telling you. I was telling you that, if we were to wholesale it, nobody would take it, right, as a cash buyer. But we throw on the MLS, we made, 40K, 30K. So
I'm going to talk to my partner
You need
that.
To do that, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Wholesaling, it's okay, but It depends on the deal. But right now, if you need cash quick, it's good, but MLS is the key right now.
Right.
That's the play.
Yeah, the only issue with MLS is sometimes it just takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get short on funds...
Yeah.
You know, because you're waiting for stuff to close. It's the only
downside. Right.
Are you still driving for dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I do, I've got 8 guys driving for me right now. They do
8 guys?
Yeah.
Are they homies or what?
Yeah. Well, a couple of them, we've just met through networking. Couple of them I met at the gym. So they're doing about 100 properties a week. That's all we want them to do so they can stay consistent with it.
You pay them or is it you?
So I'm paying those guys a 12% commission if we close the deal.
Okay.
So I'm not giving anything up front, but if we do close the deal, it's 12% commission.
Yeah, man. So
how much time do they spend doing it?
I would say an hour or two out of their week.
So not too much.
You got deal
not
machine?
Is that how no, you... I got batch driven, but batch-driven. I'm thinking... We've been having some issues, so we might be switching soon. I don't know.
To deal machine? Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you got?
Well, we honestly, we don't really drive for dollars.
Yeah. Okay.
We did a virtual drive for dollars and had a VA doing it, but they didn't really know what a crappy house looked like because every house, you know, to them looked great because they're from the Philippines. Yeah. They're like, man, that's dope. That house looks good. It's like, nah, man, that house isn't good here. But we don't really drive for dollars, and not that it's not effective, bro, but it's the management.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were trying to hire people to drive for dollars, it was hard to consistently get them to go out week after week if they didn't see a return or their money. So I don't know if you've had issues with that yet, but for us, it's like you can only get people to mark so many properties before they say, man, when am I going to start getting paid?
Right.
You know, so that was our problem.
How long have your 8 guys, how long have they been driving?
So these guys, a couple of them started off as door knockers. And we pulled the plug on that and we said, you know what, let's try and do something we can stay consistent with. The guys are going to keep doing, because door knocking, you go 3 weeks without a lead or anything, you're wore out. You don't want to touch the door again. Yeah,
that's how we got our first one of our first deals from door knocking.
Really?
Yeah, it was an 18K deal. But we knocked on the door. Some guy came out. He didn't look too good. Like, he looked like he might be on some drugs. And said, "Hey, you selling this house?" He's like, "My grandma might be, but she ain't home." So I got her the number from him. We ended up calling her, locked the deal up 6 months later.
Really?
It was a roller coaster, bro.
That was a wild deal.
But did we get lucky? Yeah, of course. Door knocking, you go 3 months, you don't find anything. Like, so I agree. It's drive for dollars. Scalable. It's not that scalable.
Mm-hmm. No.
Have any of your drivers been able to close a deal yet?
So they started. We put this thing in motion like 2 weeks ago. So this is pretty new with the driving.
Tell me what you think, like a month or two down the road, of keeping those guys. I'm not saying that like it won't work, but let me know.
Yeah, I honestly think these guys will stay. A couple of them are just working part-time jobs. And then I've got my cousin and Caleb and another guy named Jay. They're driving, and then they're also calling. So it's not like they're just driving,
good.
You know?
Yeah,
that's good.
But,
that's
a good idea. Yeah, we'll see how it goes, and I'll definitely let you know.
What we did when we were doing we partnered with a flyering company. It was a company that would go hand-deliver flyers for other companies, and they would get paid. Mm-hmm. And we said, yo, if you see any crappy houses, mark them. We'll pay you 5%. That was their commission we paid them. And two guys got paid out, and they marked, like,
we actually did a lot of deals from driving for dollars list.
But remember, I'm talking about specifically the flyer guys got us like two or three deals. So if you can get them doing enough. Yeah, it's a great list because it's not something everyone's pulling, right? You're making it yourself.
Right. So my plan with this is for these new guys, let's start you with driving. Let's get you a deal. And let's walk you from A to Z on how we do the deal, what we're going to do with the deal, and really start educating you on real estate. Because my whole goal with these guys is to get them on the phones, get them doing some, you know?
Yeah.
Really doing a money-making task.
I'm starting with driving for dollars first.
Let me give you some advice, though, really quick. We had a guy that we were training for a little bit, and he didn't get on the phones for maybe like 5 days, and he was training. And then as soon as we got him on the phone, he dipped, right? So, because he was scared. So, you know, just be aware that it might be good to get these guys on the phone sooner than later just to find out if they got it or not.
Because
a lot of these, you know, a lot of people get scared on that phone, you know. And for us, like, some people are built different where they're like, y'all make 100 calls. I don't care if everyone says no. And that's what comes to the mindset that we'll talk to. You got a different kind of mindset than most 17, 18-year-olds because, you know, they just want to have fun. They don't want to wake up early. I'm very surprised that you're waking up at 5:30.
I love it. I have people talk shit all the time. I love it. I love.
Why would they talk?
What
why would they
go to bed?
10. I try and be in bed 10 sharp. Sometimes it's later, but
man, this man, 10. He's on the missionary. Yeah, you're not LDS, are you?
No.
Okay, no. But that's like we're LDS, and we went on missions, and we would go to bed at 10:30 on our missions. Wake up at 6:30, and I thought that was hard.
Yeah,
I thought that was hard. Yeah. So you're doing 10 to 5:30. You crushing it, bro.
That's amazing. I just like waking up, and I try and be at the office by 9, so that gives me 4 hours of just to work on myself, be by myself, and just
Who taught you that stuff, man?
What else do you do in the morning?
What else? So I usually wake up, I go, and I visualize for 10 minutes. I try and do daily affirmation meditating, just meditating, and then I do affirmations. So just
I gotta show you some
to myself.
So I got a sick morning routine. I do all that too. I'll show you some stuff because I don't know, you like affirmations, right?
Mm-hmm. I love them.
So there's an app called ThinkUp. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
So it's an app where you basically tell your affirmations and it will play it back to you like on a recording with music. So it's like a nice like calming meditation thing. I use it every morning because sometimes I don't want to read them out loud. And
yeah, sometimes it sucks, but just so got to have that mindset pushed
through.
This
will be good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. So who taught you, I guess, to get it like that, like to wake up early and
started studying entrepreneurs. What are these guys doing with their life? How do they take their morning? And then just started trying it, and then I started at like 6:30, then 6, then 5:45, then 5:30. shit, I was starting to get up at 4:45, and I couldn't do that. That was killing me.
Who told you to get up at 4:45? Which guy was that?
I just wanted to try it. I was like, okay, I'm going to get up at 5:45, and I'm going to be to the gym by 5:30.
Dude, the thing with, I tried 5:30 for a while, and the thing is, if you don't go to bed on time,
you're not waking up.
It's the hardest thing. Yep. But if you go to bed at like 10, your body automatically wakes itself up at like 5:30, yeah. 6.
Like today at 5:20, I jumped out of bed. Yeah. I wasn't even tired. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
And you're ready to get it. Yep. Dang, that's, I'm yeah, proud
think,
of you, dude.
I think Mark Wahlberg goes to bed at 8, wakes up at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I think that's a little extreme.
Yeah, I don't see a point in that, but...
Man, the man is made, and he's like, let me wake up at 2. But anyway.
He goes and works out for 3 hours.
You know, for a guy that works out for 3 hours, you think he'd be in better shape. I'm not saying he ain't, like, in the greatest shape.
Yeah, he's pretty yoked.
Maybe I haven't seen him in a while.
You should see him right now. He's pretty yoked.
Is he natural?
For roles.
Is he natural?
For, like, for movie roles, right? He goes, he'll gain a bunch of weight for a role, lose a bunch of weight for a role, so.
Why? How do you know so much about Mark?
I watched a YouTube video.
YouTube. That's where, that's a big.
He's talking about his routine.
Yeah.
So, brand new to investing a year ago, first thing you did is Googled it, and you went on YouTube, and that's where you got your start. Mm-hmm. YouTube's a huge platform, I guess, for education in this space.
YouTube's changed my life. I've learned some crypto stuff from it. Like,
you invest in crypto, too?
A little bit.
Cool, man. Crypto right now, it's gone down a little bit. But
I'm in a passive income crypto, and I think I invested Tuesday of this week, got into it with $400. I'm already made like $60, I think.
That's great,
like that.
Man. That's
and
great.
And that's just every day I've got.
What
a
is passive crypto? I've never heard of that.
So it's like a crypto node, is what it's called, and it's like a crypto hedge fund.
Wow.
So you invest into this company, and they go spend the money to make more money, and they pay you a dividend, just like a.
That's interesting.
Stock.
Yeah.
That's
really good return. That's
one.
A really good return on your money, bro. $400 in 2 weeks, you made 60. Shoot.
Well, I invested in this week. And made 60. So this Tuesday, what's today? Or no, Monday. So it's Monday.
But I need need to get in that 100%.
Yeah.
$30 a day.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, not
dude.
Every day. Some days you're negative. Some days you're up. It just.
Yeah, we're getting. Yeah. I got to get into that for sure.
Let's talk about it after this.
Yeah, for sure.
How is your business set up currently?
Real estate?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, like, what does your business look like? How many people? What are you focused on? What marketing strategies, those types of things?
Okay, so I think we've got a total of 9 guys, me and my business partners and guys that work under us. We're driving for dollars. We're pulling lists. And then we're texting and cold calling, mailing, and knocking. So the people we really can't get a hold of.
So do you knock the lists?
Yeah, so like people we really can't get a hold of, like no phone, no mail, no text, no nothing. Those are the guys we're going to be knocking.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And when you go knock, you're probably already going to do this, but leave a note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have door hangers.
Good.
We just ordered like 750.
Good. Because that's good. We did a lot of deals that way from door hangers.
Yeah.
When we used to do it. We're more of a nationwide thing. Mm-hmm. We target multiple markets. So.
So what do you use for your services? How do you call? How do you text?
So
how do you mail? What do you use?
I just left Batch Dialer and moved to Call Tools. I love Call Tools. I've never had as many answers. I mean, it's confusing as shit to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But once you learn it, that's a...
I've heard it's a Batch has been messing up for some people.
Yeah.
All right?
That's what... So Jeremy Davis, I don't know if you know Jeremy Davis... he owns Prime VAs, and he said a bunch of people were complaining about Batch.
The dialer or the
dialer? The dialer. So then my partner Jeremy came to me, he told me what was going on, and then I started complaining about Batch. So I was like, okay, well, let's try this. We tried Call Tools, and yeah, it's been good since. I think we've been in it about a month, and I love it.
That's awesome, man.
And then for texting, we're using REI Reply right now, but I think we're gonna switch to something else.
Cool.
What's why would you think about switching to something else, not working like
just
you want, or what?
Because of so if you think if we have 9 guys doing 100 properties, that's $3,600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 43,000 properties a year. That's hard to manage in REI Reply. I don't deal with the texting. My partner Jeremy and one of our guys that work for us, Elias, they do it. And yeah, he said it's just going to be really hard to keep track of everything with that many properties coming in.
Yeah.
And then we're also texting like divorce, evictions.
So you guys are hitting like all that. The lists. Yeah.
Yeah, we got bankruptcies. You get your
list from Batch or somewhere else?
The bankruptcies and stuff?
Just any of it. Where do you get your list from?
Bankruptcies, my partner has some cool thing, I don't even know what it is, that we get access, that he got access to, so we get them from there. And then the divorce and evictions, we used to just pull straight off the state, but now we hired a company that just does all that, so we're just paying that company to do it.
When you say state, do you mean like the county?
Yeah, data? So it was the court records.
The court records, court yeah, records. We used to do that too.
That is time consuming.
It's time consuming in the
what
data.
What company did you hire to do that?
To pull the list, don't even know what the company. We just hired them like 2 weeks ago.
Is it working well?
I think they're getting good responses. I'm more of like calling. That's where I'm focusing is calling. Yeah. While my partner goes and does texting.
Does the marketing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just kind of testing everything. I'm getting into PPC this year sometime, and I can't wait to try it.
We did a lot of PPC. It's very.
Was it good or was it bad?
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's good and bad.
Good and bad.
Yeah. If you got the money and you got the cojones to do it, it can be good.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, if you're just going to target Salt Lake City, most leads are $400 to $1,000 a lead. Mm-hmm. So, if, you know, four people fill out your form and they're not interested, they're just shopping around, you just dropped, you know, $4,000 and on some looky-loos, you know, some people, tire kickers. So, but if you get that one deal, of course, that's what makes this business so great, you know. You could freaking strike out for 6 months on cold calling, but get one deal, it's, you know, 50 or 100K. Hey,
yeah.
And you're like, that was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, that one, it literally takes one call.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this. You talked about a little bit about getting into real estate. Is there anything more in depth on what got you into wanting to do it? Like friends, seeing family do it?
So I've really had no family that did it. A little bit in my past is I was kind of getting in trouble, hanging around the wrong kids.
You're a hoodlum.
Yeah. Got into that a little bit, got into drugs. I didn't do many drugs, but I was around it all the time.
Like most people your age, right? Yeah. Like.
Right. So I saw that a lot. I've seen people get killed. I've just been around the wrong people.
Dang.
And I got out of that, graduated early. Changed my whole life, started working at Smith's. And yeah, like I said, I was going to go be a real estate agent. It's what I wanted to do. I've always loved real estate. I knew the money was there. I knew the freedom was there. I just need to figure out how I was going to do it.
Being a real estate agent still on the mind or not really?
I'm getting my license, but it's not something I'm going to do.
Are you getting it now or?
Mm-hmm. I'm working on it.
You work on it? Kind of sucks, doesn't it?
I'm doing that RT academics. It's like the free thing and just sitting.
Yeah, it sucks, videos. Dude. We were both looking at getting our licenses. We were so busy, and we didn't finish the courses. I didn't finish it.
I didn't finish either. I was close, but not that close.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly, like, pretty intense, like, what, you know, to learn all that stuff. I mean, I don't think you have to learn it all to actually get your license, but...
I'm just skipping through.
The test is pretty hard.
Yeah, that's what they say, but this guy says just use the prep agent, study prep agent, and you'll pass, so...
Yeah. Interesting. Good idea.
Yeah, they're saying a lot more regulations coming and blah, blah, blah. You've heard all that. Yeah. Like, get your license. But I think there'll always be ways to invest and do what we do without getting your license.
So. I agree. Aren't you part of Jerry Norton's thing? Or?
Yeah, me and Jerry are cool. We took Jerry's mentorship like 2 years ago. His son works for us. And
really?
Yeah, so we're cool. And yeah, so.
That's good.
I understand what Jerry's doing, but I think what the realm what we're going to be in is fixing, flipping, buying, double closing, and, you know, wholesaling is a great tool, but as I feel like as I get deeper into it, it's like it's not going to be the end-all be-all.
Right? Yeah. I'm trying to get out of wholesaling. Like, of course, I want to do a couple wholesales a month because that quick cash is amazing, but I love the process of flipping. Yeah. And then from flipping, I'm trying to buy these rentals on creative finance. That's where I'm going to make a lot of money and build the wealth long term.
Yeah. And you're part of Pace's mentorship, right?
Yeah.
Has that been super helpful to learn how to do creative? Or is it? I've heard it's like an overload.
It is an overload. I would say I've learned the most from my partner, Jeremy. That dude is a smart guy.
Yeah.
Very well educated. He knows what he's doing. And he's probably saved us from some good mistakes on deals and stuff.
Is he in Pace's thing?
Yeah, so we're in it together. Yeah. I would say the biggest value in Sub 2 is the community. Mm-hmm. You have a deal in Florida, wherever. I can probably have that deal sold in an hour.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the value of most coaching is the community that it brings you, like the mastermind. Like we're in a mastermind with Sean Terry, and it made us 50. I think it's made us a total like 50, 60, 70,000 because we've done some JV deals through it too, or we're doing one in Akron, Ohio right now, I think.
I don't know about that one. Oh, I don't know where that's from.
Anyway, but yeah, we've done...
It's too small to even count.
Yeah, no, yeah. It is small when
like
you JV.
Deal.
But no, we did a $50,000 deal through someone in our group. He bought it, and nobody else wanted it, but we made 50K. It was pretty tight.
Yeah, he sold it and made like 140.
Yeah, we honestly should have closed it. This was a million-dollar house, and we were like, we weren't ready to take on a project that big.
Good comps.
But
if you didn't know the area.
Yeah, and yeah. He took it. So... let's think. Hey, Hector, how much? What time are we rolling on?
25.
So let's go 5 more minutes. Mm-hmm. You good? What was I going to ask you? So I am curious at Smith's. You said you were the cart pusher. How long did you work there before dipping?
I think I made it like 4 months.
4 months. And
I worked at Home Depot, a couple restaurants. I just could not have someone tell me what to do. Every time boss comes, tell me something to do, I'm getting pissed.
Get fired up.
Yeah. I just didn't last long at any job. And then
now you're doing your own thing and you've done 9 deals. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the flips though. You've done 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come you decided to keep those and flip them versus wholesale those?
Just cause my partner, Jeremy, knew how to flip homes and we're like, okay, we can wholesale for this or we can flip it and get this. And I wanted to get flips to learn. Okay. When I walk into a house, I need to look for these things, this, that, and this. So that was another reason. And 3 of the flips we worked on, like we damn near flipped the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it was mostly education.
Mm-hmm.
I learned everything on houses, what to look for, what's good, what's bad. So I would say that's a big part. And the spread was going to be bigger.
Was it bigger at the end after expenses and all that?
Yeah.
What's the best flip you guys have had?
Profit wise, after expenses were paid, I think I would have to go and look, but I think 60, 65.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
I mean, we made 100 something on this West Valley house, but after lenders and rehab and all that, it's
But like the one that I was telling you about that we put on the MLS because we weren't getting what we wanted. We made, I think, 87 on it, but our expenses were super cheap because we know how to list it, and it was
this was with already taking out the lender expenses, the listing expenses.
No, we made 83 after expenses, right?
That was like,
see, that's good.
That was like some random expenses, like a little bit of fix up, then a little bit of what do you call it? Utilities.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the hard money costs were more than that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so yeah, we would have it would have made more, but
listing fees weren't in there. Like,
okay, I gotcha. But anyway. Yeah, flipping is legit.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Really? I wish we could flip everything, but also that quick cash. I mean,
you got to do both, right? Yeah. You got to get the quick cash to keep your marketing going, but you know the flips for the huge spreads, and then keep what you want, keep what you can.
It
just depends on the deal. Like flipping is good, but wholesaling is great too. Like,
yeah,
I mean, we made 78K off a wholesale deal.
Yeah,
where
I think that's good, but I think
if we
flipped
it, we probably would have made.
I don't know,
maybe
bro.
Like 100.
Maybe. I mean, who knows?
That's the thing is you just don't know because while you flip, you're making money right now because you're appreciating.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
we'll see what they sell it for.
I mean, they haven't sold it yet. It's been sitting on the market. So
really?
When you guys wholesale a deal, do you track that deal down and see what your flipper sold it for?
Sometimes, but sometimes we don't because we're like, it might hurt, you know, we don't want to we don't want to see that.
Get all mad.
Yeah. Cause like, let me give you an example. We had one that we did track down it was in Ogden. It was a townhouse for, it was, I got it for 190. We wholesaled it to someone for 220. So 30K. And we're like, dude, that's good. And the comps were at the time, like 260, 270, right? The guy, does that make sense? So ARV was 260, 270. I gave it, we sold it to him for 220. So that spread is like not a big spread, right? So I was like, yeah, let's wholesale it. And I think we saw that they relisted it for like $350. So
that's exactly. So my first flip was a townhouse. And we picked it up, I think, at 230. They were in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Picked it up at 230. We bought it subject to. The bankruptcy process went so long, we didn't even have to take over the mortgage. Mm-hmm. We pretty much had it flipped when bankruptcy was cleared.
That's cool.
But, yeah, we picked it up at 220. And I think when we bought it, comps were at, like, 310. I think even lower. Like, our highest comp was 310.
Yeah.
And it took us about 2 or 3 months, I think, and we sold it for $335, $340, something like that.
Yeah. So looking back at those deals, sometimes it does hurt, mm-hmm. but I would never even thought that townhouse would go for
exactly.
You can't bank off that. You just don't know that that's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
but for the dudes that have been banking on it, they've been doing.
It's not just banking on it. You know, you buy a house to flip, and then if you get appreciation, that's just like a bonus.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you want to let Investor Thrive Nation or anyone watching this know before we wrap this up? I mean, you've given us a lot of golden nuggets, good stuff. Anything you...
I would say for anyone that's out there grinding, hasn't closed their first deal or only closed one deal, let's say you've been in it 6 months or more, I would say just keep grinding. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Keep your strong mindset. And, yeah, just keep hustling.
I like that. That's good.
Awesome.
Because I think... What I talk to a lot of people that are getting into this space because we offer coaching now, and a lot of people are like, man, I haven't gotten a deal, and I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, how much action are you putting mm-hmm. out there? Like, how much effort, like, how many people are you talking to? How many texts or how many cold calls?
Got to break it down.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of people think that they don't, I don't want to say they think they have to do that much, but you got 9 guys out there. You got texting, you got cold calling, you knocked, you drive for dollars, you did 200 a day, right? You were freaking going to town. That's what it takes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you're not putting in a lot of hours, you're not going to succeed.
Yeah.
You've got to put in the time and the work.
Yeah, if you're not going to drive for dollars, you need to be making offers on the MLS mm-hmm. all day. You need. I mean, this is not, I would say, a passive, like, easy thing in the beginning. You want to get into wholesaling, you got to grind. Eventually, once, like, you have a system and the process is all mm-hmm. dialed in, yeah, it can be a little bit easier.
You step back a little bit.
A little bit, but, mm-hmm. you know.
You're still there, though. Yeah. Still putting in work, just doing something else.
Yeah.
So my goal this year is to just work on the business, not in it. So
that's everybody's
see what
goal.
We can do.
The E-Myth, baby.
Yeah.
You know, not be the whatever they call it. What do they call that guy in the E-Myth? The technician.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that's working in the business. Mm-hmm. But anyway, man, it's been a pleasure to have you on here, dude. You've
Matt.
Definitely.
Thanks for coming.
And we got to just keep checking in on you and
yeah.
maybe have you out, you know, back on the podcast in the future and just see how you're doing. Because
yeah.
I was talking to Michael Burns. Do you know Michael mm-hmm. Burns? He was saying that, you know, every 3 years, like when you look back at where you've been, like it's hard to like comprehend where you were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we started pretty much like 3 years ago, right? Now where we're at right now, it's like, wow, right?
Yeah.
When you really put it into perspective. And you, in 3 years, you're going to be like, dude, that's crazy.
Even a year.
Even a year, right?
Even a year, my whole life has changed. Literally, my whole life.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think a year ago, we started Nationwide. I think mm-hmm. it was like a year ago.
Almost 2 years ago.
Was it
2 years
ago?
Bam.
It's crazy. And now, give us a deal anywhere, we'll get it done.
Get it done.
We can sell it.
Yep.
If it's a deal, it's gone. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on, Investor Thrive Nation. It's been a pleasure. Whoever's
yeah,
on here,
guys.
It's been a pleasure. And yeah, talk to you later, brother.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Later.